Well, hey, family, and welcome to Coffee and Kathy. This is Steph from the Grief to Great Day podcast. You're listening to our weekly devotional episode. Now, Kathy, she was the sister of one of my best childhood friends. Each year in the summer, she would tag along when we went swimming or skateboarding, and in the winter, it was sledding. Now, some days that was okay, but some days we didn't want the little sister to hang around. Now, as we all grew up and I moved to North Carolina, I saw very little of her. Then, in 2021, over 4 decades after those summer and winter activities, I heard that not only had she become a children's pastor and lived in Guatemala teaching missionary children English, but she had also gotten cancer. She returned to the States. Her sister began caring for her, but within a couple of months, at the age of 50, she died. Now, what I learned after that made me really sad that I didn't know her better as an adult. See, God wasn't a part of her life. He was her life, and her impact on others was great. These weekly devotionals are a way for you to get quiet, grab some coffee, tea, or a green smoothie, and just listen as I read from Kathy's blog entitled Learned Along the Way. She was incredibly wise, funny, and a fully committed Christ follower. Grief, you know, the thing you're going through right now, it is the hardest thing you'll ever face, so don't let anyone ever diminish that. But let's also not diminish the power of God's word and the transformational healing he will do in your life. I'm a living testimony of going from pitiful, what I defined as brokenhearted, years of tears, angry at God and the world, overwhelmed and confused, to powerful, what I defined as peaceful, joyful, and strong in my trust, hope, and faith in God. You're not alone, and your day does not have to be your forever. Oh, I'm so glad you're here today. So all you need to do now is be still and just listen. Trapped. She felt trapped. She wasn't really, but I could not convince her, no matter what I did. In fact, the reason she felt trapped was my doing, for her protection. 9-year-old cats and 2-year-old boys aren't always the best mix. And a 2-year-old friend was on his way for a visit. So before he arrived, I put her, the 9-year-old Lucy, her sister Liza, some toys and their food in the same room as the litter box. And then I put a baby gate in the doorway. I thought it was brilliant. Cats can go in and out by jumping the gate. 2-year-old visitors can't go in. Safe haven for the furry girls, safety for the boy. And my brilliant idea was based on fact. I have seen both Liza and Lucy jump 5 feet to catch a moth or a fly, so clearing a 2.5-foot gate should have been no problem. Lucy even watched her sister do it successfully, but the baby gate stopped her. For a long time, she wouldn't even try. She lay down on the floor beside the gate and just looked at me. Her eyes said, "Why are you doing this to me?" I called her by name. I shook the treat container, and finally I gave up. My company was on the way, and the cat had what she needed. She just wasn't enjoying the freedom that she could have had if only she would have made the effort. I often feel trapped. I am not really, but I cannot seem to convince myself otherwise. My emotions are often a barrier, or they seem that way to me. I can't stop worrying. I know Jesus said not to worry, but that scenario keeps running and rerunning in my head, so I wallow in worry. I can't forgive. I know Jesus commanded it, but I keep hearing those hurtful words, keep reliving those painful circumstances in my head, so I wallow in unforgiveness. I am scared. I know Jesus said, "Fear not," but surely he didn't mean in 2016, in the age of nuclear stuff, ISIS stuff, Iran stuff, election year stuff, etc., etc. So I wallow in fear. I am lonely. I know Jesus said he is always with me, but I can't touch him or give him a hug. So I wallow in loneliness. The reality is that I know how to jump these barriers. I have jumped them successfully before, but often, like my Lucy, I lay down beside the barrier and don't even attempt to jump it. I wallow, and then I wonder why I'm in a funk. Until I hear the voice of truth, the voice of my good shepherd calling my name, and I remember that I can jump, that these barriers don't have to stop me from living what Jesus called the abundant life, a life of joy that goes beyond my circumstances and the feelings they bring, a life of peace that goes beyond understanding. And when I hear his voice gently calling, here is something very practical that I do. I get out a piece of paper and I draw a line from top to bottom. On the top of one column, I write, I feel. On the top of the other, I write, but the truth is. It ends up looking something like this. I feel worried. I'm not sure how I'm going to get my to-do list done this week. There just aren't enough hours in the day to get everything done. Something has to give. I'm overwhelmed. But the truth is, you, God, created time. You said that my days were numbered before one of them came to be. Psalms 139:16. You also said that my times are in your hand. Psalm 31:15. You go before me into my day, Exodus 14:14, and will give me all I need to get through, Philippians 4:19. I am giving you my to-do list. Please, God, show me what needs to be done and what can wait. Thank you that you are my strength, Psalm 18:32, and will be this day. When I feel scared, the world seems to be spiraling out of control. Every day it feels like things are getting worse and worse. Kindness seems to be non-existent. Being a Christian is becoming a bad thing. Murder, racial tension, politics and politicians, world events, war seems imminent on several fronts. Terrifying times. But the truth is, God, you are in control. You always have been and you always will be. You put in power the king of your choosing, Daniel 5:21. You are the sovereign king over all, Revelation 19:16, and I belong to you. Thank you that you will help me to be wise in my actions and words, James 1:5. Thank you that I can bring all of these world concerns and events to you, knowing that you are the one who changes hearts, lives, and countries, James 5, and so on. Please notice this, however. The truth side of the question is not how I feel about truth or my version of it. The truth side is solely based in Scripture, in God's Word, in what He says is true. I don't usually put references for verses when I'm doing this in my journal, but I wanted you to see that none of those are my ideas. In fact, if I replace my emotions with truth of my own making that is not based in the Word of God, then I have simply jumped from one barrier to another. That is why it is so very, very important to spend time in the Word of God often, so that you can know truth and apply it to your everyday world. Because when I spend time getting to know God as He is, as He has revealed Himself in His Word, then I can replace my feelings with truth, and I can soar above the barriers. Which, by the way, is what Lucy did eventually.